عليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praises are Allah's, Lord of the world. And may His peace and blessings be upon our Master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and His pure Immaculate Ahlul Bayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad. Today, the focus of the talk, inshallah, will be two traditions from the Ahlul Bayt in relation to how different actions manifest differently and what they manifest as. That's the focus. But before that, I want to go through a number of preliminary points. Some of them are merely technical, so don't worry if you don't fully understand. But some of them are, I think, useful and practical for understanding those traditions, those two traditions, in a more important way. Okay. In the science of logic, man is defined as an animal that is rational, the rational animal. Man being the species, and man is an animal, animal being the genus or gens, as they say. And the animal is rational, rational being the differential. So man, the species, is an animal. Animal is the genus. It's something that man has in common with other animals. They all share the term, this genus of being an animal.
Could you please tell me
in
Arabic this one?
Yes, genus or gens.
Yes, okay, but.
Yes?
There is.
All right. Man is a species which is knower. Genus is gens, animal.
Yeah.
It shares this animalness with a horse, pig, monkey. But then that which differentiates man from other animals is through the fasle, the differential. It differentiates, and that is being rational, because other animals aren't rational. So that's the definition in logic, though. But the OFO here have some problems with this. They say, wait a minute, you're only looking at the external side of things. You're missing something crucial here, which unfolds the essence and reality of man. You're just looking at man, the rational animal, just the outside aspect of man. True, all kinds of man, rational animals, they breathe, they talk, they sleep, they eat, they drink, and so on and so forth. They have that in common with all of them. And they work, and all these things, you're right. Rational people all have these common properties, and that's what you're basing your classification on. However, we want to get to the essence of man. Then they say, these actions that you're speaking about, that man does, these actions become actions which they do in this world. They become part of man's malakat. Malakot being those ingrained attributes, ingrained dispositions that one, over a period of time, it becomes firmly ingrained in one, be it good or bad. You see, right, these actions that man does, and they become firmly ingrained within the soul, and they become in unity with the soul, they become the soul, they're not different to the soul now, after becoming firmly incorporated. That's the true identity of man. You're just looking at the phenotype. Go deeper. Our criterion is what those malakas are, what those embodiment and manifestation, those actions are. That's the true reality of man, not just the physical phenotype. It's this soul's unfolding of itself, depending on the actions that it has done in this world, that defines its true identity, and therefore the true identity of man, not just the mere phenotype. So here is one difference here. And that's because they both are focusing on something different, a specific dimension. One is focusing on the external side. We look at man as a rational animal. Once all that, no, they're fighting with something much deeper. It's the inner dimension of man. What differentiates that inner dimension? The malakas. Be they good or bad, depending on the action. So in this world, yes, man is the species, the rational animal, and within this species, there are particular types, there's Tom, Dick, Harry, Ali, Nari, Tari, different particular men or women. But in the hereafter, suddenly there's a shift. Man becomes the genus. And within this genus, it can be any animal whatsoever. It may be a monkey, a pig, a dog, or a true human being, or depending on one's actions. So here in Erfan, the definition differs. Man is a potential. Man is a potential divine being, with the potential to acquire all divine attributes and manifest them. That's the definition of man. If man doesn't act properly in this life, then he will remain an actual animal and will remain a potential divine being. The whole aim is to make that potential divine being an actual divine being. But bad actions, the result of bad actions, will mean that man remains that actual animal and won't grow. It won't be a true human. Now, what kind of animal will they become? It depends on the actions once again. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam has said, فَالصُّورَةُ صُورَةُ الْإِنسَانِ. The form, the phenotype, if you like, is the form of a human being. وَالْقَلْبُ قَلْبُ الْحَيْوَانِ. But the heart is the heart of an animal. The heart usually, is referring to the fitra. That book of existence was not filled properly and made them on a par with animals. Now, this verse is, well, it's part of the verse, it's quite a delicate point here, with some important practical implications. It's in chapter 2, 286. Laha ma kasabat. Whatever it has earned, it's for him, it's for the soul. Ha here is referring, before the verse, in the early part, is referring, speaks about the soul. Whatever the soul earns, it's for the soul. Wa alayha ma iktasabat. Wait for the journey together, maktasabat. Whatever it's earned is against the soul. That's a very literal translation. Kasaba and iktasaba both mean earning. They both mean earning. However, when they're both used together in the same verse, it's the prepositions which differentiates the type of earning each one bears. Here, it says, the verse says, laha ma kasaba. Once with iktasabat, it says alayha. Alayha, the preposition ala here, meaning it goes against them. It's negative for them. Laha, it is positive for them. So whatever it has earned in a positive way is to their benefit. And whatever it has earned in a negative way will go against them. That's the translation of the verse. There are both two kinds of earnings here. What has the soul done action-wise? What has it earned in itself through its actions? If it's good actions, it will lead to its benefit. If it's negative actions, it will lead to its harm. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ. Now, كَسَبَتْ, this كَسَبَتْ, this earning, is when those actions that the soul does is on a par with one's fitra. Or one is filling one's book of existence properly as it should be filled. Here, whenever you see kesava, that's the meaning. Whereas iktesava, this is when they're both using the same verse, otherwise when they use differently, they both can mean both meanings. But when they come together, they have to be differentiated. Iktesava is when you don't fill the book of existence as it should be filled, or you act in contradiction to your fitra. You're earning in a negative way. It's going to be to your harm. Okay, now, that's one point. Now, a number of traditions become more understandable now. Al-Kasibu Habibullah. The earner, what did you be translated as? The laborer, Kasibu. This means the earner. Is Allah's loved one. Allah loves them. But it doesn't mean any laborer. Doesn't mean anyone who strives very hard for their living. It's for the strives, a striving that is on a par with one's fitra. Those traditions where the Holy Prophet kisses the hand of the kasib, doesn't mean any worker who strives very hard in their life. It's one who strives in a manner that is in accordance with one's fitra. So if one is not a kasib, someone whose actions is on a par with one's fitra, one is not a true human being. Now this has stages and degrees actually. We may never be the true human being, but we may be partially. We have to be kasib though. I.e., whatever we do in life, the action must be on a par with our fitra, be it in the study place, workplace, at home, etc. But if you're earning negatively, if you're a muktasib, iktasaba, and those negative actions become incorporated within you, you remain an animal. What kind of an animal depends on the actions. And that's what the traditions which I'm going to follow gives. Few examples, only examples. It's a limit. Now maybe, this is just an observation. Why were all the prophets, at some time during their lives, why were they shepherds? They were always with animals. Sheep, camel, all different kinds of animals. And sometimes it was a prerequisite to be a shepherd, and they would be tested as a shepherd. Prophet Musa, one of his tests before becoming a prophet was, but I don't recall the story exactly, word to word. The rough gist of it was, in his herd, he had lost a sheep, and he had lost it for 2 days. During these 2 days, he would search everywhere for the sheep. Everywhere, do everything, searching for the sheep. After 2 days, he found the sheep. And on finding him, embraced the sheep, stroked the sheep. And where were you? You must have had nothing to eat, you must be very hungry, you must have compassion to an animal. Keep on feeding it, stroking it. Because prophets want to be prophets of mankind. and the true identity of mankind can be that of a sheep. Many people, that true identity, so there's maybe this man like God, maybe that of an animal. But prophets have to express compassion, forbearance, have patience before humans, even if their true identity is that of an animal. And you can see the true identity of people. Just because they are people maybe on a par with an animal identity, prophets still show their compassion, even on them. And this was a prerequisite. Because for them to encounter and treat people, well, those people may not be true human beings. They would have to prepare in some way. A few verses up, chapter 81, verse 5. Either wuhushu hushelat, when the wild beasts will be resurrected. Now, don't take wild beasts as, you know, real animals. That's a different discussion whether animals will also have a resurrection. Mullah Sadr says, yes, Ibn Sina has a problem with that. But then that's not what the Quran wants to say. It's us. The whole verses of the Holy Quran is man's journey. Man's esoteric journey to Allah. Some of us are going to be wild animals on resurrection. Our actions were negative. These actions will be manifested as wild animals. Chapter 86, verse 9. يَوْمَ تُبْلَ السَّرَائِرِ. The day when the inner dispositions will be unfolded. Referring to resurrection. Some people may unfold it in this world. It's possible. For most of us, it's after physical death. Chapter 12, verse 13. Prophet Ya'qub, Jacob, alayhi salam, when they wanted to take Yusuf, alayhi salam, he didn't want his sons to take Yusuf. What did he say? Wa akhafu, I fear. I fear that the wolves may eat him. Because he saw the inner identity of his sons. He saw the wolfness of his sons. He knew what they were planning to do. He knew what they were as a result of their negative actions. They were wolves. But he had to phrase it in such a terminology. And then chapter 78, verse 18, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. The day when the sword will be blown and you will come in groups. What does this mean? Commonly translated as day the trumpet will be blown. You see, how are we going to explain this really to the people? And what do they mean by a trumpet? And who's going to blow the trumpet? They say, yes, Rocky is going to blow the trumpet. And then everyone will hear the trumpet with the physical ear that makes this Rocky a physical entity. Explain this really. Is that it? Are we going to suffice with that? First of all, what is this soul? But it's certainly not a trumpet. That's one thing. In Arabic, it's a kind of cylinder where when you blow into it, for specific purposes they used to use it, when you blow into it, on the other side, flames would come out. Or fire or something like that. Okay now, who is blowing into it? What is the soul? What are the flames? And then you will come in groups. Which you? What are the groups? See, these things have to be opened up a bit. And some scholars have tried and opened the inner dimensions of these verses. I'll just share with you one such understanding. But if we keep on saying it will happen one day, this blowing of the trumpet at the very end, well, what use does it have for us today, right now? This perspective is something which Israfil, the angel, is in the work day after day, action after action. The sword is bowed into every moment in our lives right now. But we don't see our coming into groups right now. But we are coming into groups. But we don't see it. Now, what does all this mean? First of all, it says, Yawma Yom Fakho, the day when the trumpet. And we've spoken about what the day means. It's a medium through which something is manifested. Like, for example, Allah created the cosmos in, let's say, 6 days. It was 6 certain manifestations which occurred. Maliki Yawm al-Din is the master of where Deen manifests.
Pardon?
Yes, yes.
Resurrection,
yes, of judgment, yes. Here, Yam being you, the soul, is being resurrected. Now, here, in Yam Yonfach of a soul, it's a time when your malakat, those inner dispositions that you've acquired, from day after day, they will be manifested. They are manifesting. Who's manifesting it? Israfil. What is the soul? It's the soul. Who is manifesting your malakat in this embodiment of actions, from action to action, day to day? Israfil is. He's active right now. He's growing into the soul. You acquire those malakat, and they will be manifested. They'll come into groups and groups. You will come into groups and groups. There's different manifestations coming out. You see, then back now, this struggle has a different meaning now. Not something which we think one day it will happen. It's happening right now. We don't see it. We will see it one day. But it's all happening right now. But we don't see the methodology. So in the same way, when they would blow into the cylinder with flames coming out, here with Israfil's blowing, where he's the executor of the embodiment of actions, here the flames being out of Malakat. And that's what we have to really be attentive day after day. Okay, that was the introduction. Now 2 traditions, and then we'll finish inshallah. In these traditions, if I do give examples, these are my own examples, they may be wrong. That doesn't matter. If I'm wrong there, don't be too worried there. For example, when it says this action leads to you manifesting as such an animal, I give 1 or 2 examples of that action. I may be wrong in the masadi, the examples of such a thing. Don't be worried about that, just get the main focus of the story. And then Bala ibn Azir, so the narrator says, Kana ma'adhubru jabal jalisan qariban min Rasulullah fi manzil Abi Ayyub al-Ansari. The Holy Messenger of Allah was in the house of Abi Ayyub al-Ansari, probably in Medina, and Ma'ad, who was a companion of the Holy Prophet, was sitting nearby the Holy Prophet. فَقَالَ مَعَاذ said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَرَأَيْتَ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. In the introduction I gave of that verse, it would be now supported in this tradition. Can you inform us in relation to the verse يوم ينفخ في السور فتأتون أفواجا. The day when the sword will be blown and you will come into groups. قال, the Holy Prophet said, يوم معاذ سألت عن عظيم من العام. Apparently you have asked of an important mighty matter. ثم أرسل أيني. And then the Holy Prophet shed a tear. Now what's going to come up? It's going to be something serious, something important. The Holy Prophet shed a tear now. فقال, and he said, يُحشر أشتى أصناف من أمتي أشتى. There'll be 10 classes of my Ummah who will be resurrected differently. أَدْبَيَّزَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And Allah has differentiated them from the Muslims. They're all Muslims. But these 10 classes have been differentiated from the Muslims. وَبَدَّلَ صُوَرَهُمْ. And Allah has changed their forms. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ عَلَى صُورَةِ الْقِرَدَى. But those who appear as monkeys, فَالْقَطَّاطُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. They are the gossip mongers amongst the people. Be you male or female. They're not backbiting, but you know, people's misfortunes, people's open public errors becomes just a topic, just chatting and speaking, totally worthlessly, wasting their time, void, futile. And they keep on, you know, clustering into groups and speaking about just futile talk with no value whatsoever. On a par with monkeys. They are a monkey. If this becomes ingrained within one, that's going to be the death of the body. And that's going to cause harm to the eye. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ عَلَى صُورَةِ الْخَنَازِيرِ فَأَحْلُ الصُّحْتِ. Those who appear with the form of pigs, they are the consumers of haram. Don't be haram food, haram money. They're just consuming haram. And there's no remorse or regret, are there, Yaakov? When something wrong is done without any remorse or regretlessly, then that's a sign that's firmly incorporated within you now. You're a pig. The phenotype is that of a human being. The heart is that of a pig. The Holy Prophet was shedding a tear before saying all this. Because he cares for his Ummah, pains his heart to see what will happen to his Ummah like this. It matters to them. But then it's all compassion. And to the 12th Imam, we can be paining him with our actions. See, that's a coup. This creature is saying, he shed a tear. What are we doing with the 12th Imam? وَأَمَّا الْمُنَكِّسُونَ عَلَى رُؤُوسِهِمْ فَآكِلَةُ الرِّبَا. Are the people who appear upside down? These are the consumers of usury, riba. وَلَا أُمَّا concerning the blind, those who appear blind, and جَائِرُونَ فِي الْحُكْمِ. Those who transgress from the canonical rulings, the Sharia, they'll be blind in the hereafter. And the verse in the Holy Quran, وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى. Those who are blind in this world, فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى. They'll be blind in the hereafter. And being blind in this world doesn't mean that physical disability or blindness. It's just you are blind to the Sharia. And you will be resurrected partly as a blind entity. وَسَمَّ رَبُّكُمْ الْمُعْجِبُونَ بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ. Some will be appear as deaf and dumb. They are those who have become self-conceited as a result of their actions. Now these may be believers, or they're all Muslims anyway. Actions that are done tastelessly, non-wajib actions that are done tastelessly can easily lead to one's conceit. Especially when you disclose it, I've done Salat al-Layl for 2 years now. Sometimes, you know, Salat al-Layl becomes a subject for discussion in groups. Sometimes you have to keep some actions, keep a personal one-to-one rapport with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no need to disclose it with everyone. You open the doors of conceit, be careful. The wajibat, as much as you want, discuss with the people. I'm going to give my host tomorrow. And then I'm going to do Salat now. I want to do fasting. Not the Ramadan. But with the Mustahabat, try to do it in private, mostly. As much as possible, anyway. Some of them you can't. Anyway, if your Ibadat is going to be done tastelessly, the non-wajib ones, because the wajib ones is a minimum requirement, whether it's done tastelessly or tastefully, but if the wajib ones are done tastelessly, it won't harm one. But the mustahabat, if that's done tastelessly, yes, it's going to harm one. Shimr would do Salat al-Layl every night. He would fast most of the year. He was fasting on the day of Ashura. When he lifted the holy head, he broke his nose so he does not get into it. That's where one can be taken. Because all those actions just added to that conceit, that arrogance, that ego, and that was the result. Just one veil after the other. وَالَّذِينَ يَمْذُغُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ فَالْعُلَمَاءُ وَالْقُضَاةُ الَّذِينَ خالف أعمالهم أعمالهم. Those who appear as chewing their tongues, they are the ulama, the judges, the scholars, whose words are, what they say are in contradiction to what they practice. That's in relation to me, not for you. Some will appear with amputated hands and legs. Who are they? الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْجِيرَانَ. Those who harm their neighbors. They're in their houses. It's as if their legs and hands, separate from their body, go to their neighbor's house and harm them. It's as if it's not there. They will appear with an amputated body. No good comes out from them. They just harm their neighbors. Our neighbors just don't have to be the house next to them, in general. وَالْمُسَلَّمُونَ عَلَى جُذُوعٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. Those who will be crucified on branches of fire. فَالسُّعَاتُ بِالنَّاسِ إِلَى السُّلْطَانِ. They are the snitches to the ruling authorities. Here, the ruling authority is implying an oppressive authority. You have no right to go and snitch and go and provide an account of your fellow Muslims to the ruling oppressive authority. If you do, the manifestation is being burned on branches of fire. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ أَشَدُّ نَتْنًا مِنَ الْجِيفِ There'll be those who will appear smelling worse than rotten corpses. What have they done? What is this a manifestation of? فَالَّذِينَ يَتَمَتَّعُونَ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ وَاللَّذَّاتِ They are those who have been drowned in the worldly desires and passions. Just drowned in them. And the result? وَيَمْنَعُونَ حَقَّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ And they avoid spending in Allah's name in relation to their capital. They don't spend it as they should be spending it. And the result, as a result of just being drowned in the worldly passions and whims. وَالَّذِينَ يَلْبَسُونَ الْجُرَابَ There are those who wear clothes. Here, it's referring to clothes of fire. It's a negative connotation. فَأَحْلُ الْفَخْرِ الْخُيَلَى They're the boastful arrogant ones. That's how they were. And then we have tradition that some traditions say they were manifested as ants. These are just some examples of specific actions, how they will be manifested. And one final tradition from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he says, "Annasu fi zamanina ala sitti tabaqat." People today in our time may be classified into six levels, six classes of people. And this is not meant to be a comprehensive classification, just examples. Asadun, lions, Dhi'abun, wolves, Thaqalab, foxes, Kalabun, dogs, Khinzirun, pigs, Washatun, sheep. Fa'ammal Asadun, concerning the lions. Now with each of these, he wants to say who manifests as these entities. Fa'mulukul dunya, they're the rulers of the earth. The leaders. يُحِبُّ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ أَيْ يَغْلَى Each one of them desires to conquer. وَلَا يُغْلَى But they don't desire to be conquered. They're lions. They're not human beings. To be a true ruler, a true leader is very difficult. Most of them fall into attributes of the lion. And they will become a lion. And their eye, in the hereafter, will be in association with a lion. Not that they'll see a lion approaching them, they are the lion. That's the pressure of the grave. That's the meaning of terror and horror in the hereafter. It's going to cause a lot of torment. It's a chastising punishment. وَأَمَّا الذِّئَبُ concerning the wolves, فَتُجَّارُكُمْ They are your businessmen. Why? يَظُمُّونَ إِذَا اشْتَرَوْا When buying, they keep on finding faults with things. So they maybe get a proper price or something. It's just an excuse for them. وَيَمْدُحُونَ إِذَا بَرَوْا But when they want to sell their goods, they keep on praising the goods. Extend that a bit more to different walks of life, and then you can see whether the wolfness of you is enhanced or not. When it's for your own benefit, you praise something. When it goes against you, you're finding faults. You just have to extend this a bit, and the connotations are vast. I don't want to go into examples too much. Just think a bit of this. وَأَمَّا الثَّعْلَبُوا فَهَوَلَاءِ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ بَعْدِيَانِهِمْ Concerning foxes, they are those who use religion as a means of living. scholars who use religion, speeches, and other things as a means of living, they are foxes. Okay? It was never part of the program in Islam, earning out of religion. It wasn't part of the seerah of the Imams. We don't have it that the Imams would teach religion and earn. They may give things to other people as a reward, but they would never earn out of teaching. And then not only that, they would work on farms and sweat. If, for example, I'm here for 15 days, if they don't give me anything, I should still be satisfied before Allah. I shouldn't be expecting anything. The more I expect in proportion to my expectation, my fox identity will be announced. Religion can't be used as a means to your livelihood. Religion is the people's. You have to either don't enter the field, but if you enter now, you have to preach, you have to just, without any reward. It has to be done wholly for Allah's sake. Now, but don't judge other people. If some people assign rates for teaching, first of all, they may not be wearing the clothing. If you're wearing the clothing, the turban, and this isn't a religious uniform. In Islam, we don't have such a thing as a uniform. This has been acquired over time. And people respect it. It's the clothing of the Prophet. If you wear it, just using it as a means for your livelihood is problematic. There's no doubt in that. I'm not saying it's haram, but it's certainly unethical. And it's going to be a cause of your downfall one day. But if you do hear of people who set rates, and high rates, don't judge them. First of all, they may be like a university professor. That's one thing. We don't expect a university professor, even in the Islamic studies, they're not preachers. It's an academic thing for them. There's no need to attack people who do that. Just think about ourselves, everyone to themselves, this fox identity has to be eliminated from. وَأَمَّا الثَّعْلَبُ فَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ بِعَدْيَانِ They eat through their religion. They use religion as a means of their learning. وَلَوْ يَكُونُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا يَسِفُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ That which is in their hearts is not that which they say, they speak out. It's not existent in their hearts, they just know how to speak.
وَأَمَّا الْكَلْبُ يَحِرُّ عَلَى النَّاسِ بِالْلِسَانِ
Concerning dogs, they attack people. They are those who attack people with their tongues. They're very aggressive. They're harsh with people, the way they speak.
Where you claim on nose, and people dignify them and pay them respect, means shadow dishonor, just to be immune and secure from their tongue. To save them, that harsh behavior. In their tongues, they want to be free from it. So they respect them. They are dogs. وَأَمَّا الْخِنْزِيرُ فَهَؤُلَاءِ الْمُخَنَّثُونَ وَأَشْبَابُهُمْ
The pigs, this term, forgive me, saying, but it says it's a tradition, those who become anally copulated, and their like,
لا يدعون الى فاحشتين الا اجابوا. They accept when they're invited to such an action, advice. وأما الشاطر, but concerning the sheep, فالمؤمنون, they are the believers, the pennies of the sheep. يجروا شعورهم, their hair will be pulled. ويؤكل لحومهم, their flesh will be consumed. Devoured upon. وَيُكَسَّرُ عَظْمُهُمْ, their bones will be broken. Their sheep, they're oppressed in such a society. فَكَيْفَ تَسْمَعُ الشَّاطُ, what must the sheep do? بَيْنَ أَسَدٍ, amongst the lions, وَذَعْبٍ, wolves, وَثَعْلَبٍ, foxes, وَكَلْبٍ, dogs, وَخِنْزِيرٍ. That's it. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll speak about the Salat. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.